and considered his next words carefully.
It is quite rare to find pieces from the master builders. Even more rare to find a piece as exquisite and well-preserved as what you have here, my lord. I mean no disrespect, but may I examine it?
Richter didn't really get what the big deal was, but assumed that the jewelry must be more valuable and therefore more expensive than he had thought. It is yours. You can do as you wish. With that, he handed over the bracelet. Abbas didn't bring it close up to his eyes and inspect it like Richter had assumed. Instead, he just held it in his hand and closed his eyes. A slight hum could suddenly be heard at the edge of Richter's hearing, like a generator coming on down the street. When Abbas opened his eyes again, a broad smile crested his face. His large white teeth starkly contrasted against his sun-darkened skin.
My lord, this truly is a wonderful gift. I apologize for any doubt or hesitation on my part. Please do not believe that I thought you would cheat us or my father, but there are many, many forgeries of the work of the Tefanim. So much so that the chances of a piece being authentic are less than 1,000 to 1. I am honored to receive this princely gift. My father spoke of your fairness and strength, but left to me the choice of how closely we would ally ourselves in business. Your gift shows your caliber, though, my lord, and I am happy to say that the Company of the White Pearl considers you a friend in commerce.
A series of prompts immediately filled Richter's vision. Know this. The saying is that there are more customs in the land than drops of water in the ocean. It is impossible to know them all. Your innate respect and generosity, however, have steered you well. The exchange of gifts is a time-honored tradition amongst the traders of the River Peninsula, and will set the tone for all future dealings. You have given a gift well beyond what was expected, and have been named a friend of commerce to the Company of the White Pearl. Congratulations! You have gained plus 1,125 relationship points with Abbas. Your relationship with Abbas has increased from neutral, 0, to friendly, plus 1,000. It has been too long since we have seen each other. Total relationship points with Abbas, plus 1,125. Congratulations, the Mist Village has gained plus 1,125 relationship points with the Company of the White Pearl. The relationship of the Mist Village and the Company of the White Pearl has increased from neutral, 0, to friendly, plus 1,000. I look forward to our future trading opportunities. Total relationship points with the Company of the White Pearl, plus 32,562. Know this, as a friend in commerce, future trade dealings with the Company of the White Pearl will be 10% more lucrative. New trade opportunities may now become available. Richter didn't let the momentum of the moment pass. It pleases me that my gift is so well received. I hope that it is the start of many future successful dealings. He was about to refer them over to Randolphus when he experienced the strangest of sensations. His nose tingled, and the most tantalizing scent reached his nostrils. It came and went quick as a flash, but despite not seeing a source, Richter was sure he had smelled something wonderful. It was like an olfactory potpourri that reminded him of the scent of a woman's hair, spiced apple pie, and crisp mountain air all at once. He looked around trying to pinpoint where the wonderful smell had come from, but while he was distracted, the brothers had taken the time to open the larger chest.
"Our father sent along some items of interest," Abbas smiled faintly. "As I said, it was left to me whether these would be offered or not. Now that we are all friends, though, I absolutely believe that a man like yourself, someone of discerning taste, deserves to own such wonderful objects."
Basil objected.
"I was under the impression that we had already negotiated for everything you had to sell."
Abbas shook his head.
"The opportunities for trade are limitless, so saith our lady. Specifically, though, we were instructed by our father to only reveal these to Lord Richter directly. A man of your wisdom and foresight will understand, I am sure."
Richter chuckled at the obvious wind-up that Abbas had given him, but as Abbas started laying items on the wooden table, his laughter changed to frank appreciation. You have found bottle of royal jelly from Aswani Queen. Durability 9 of 9. Item class scarce. Quality superb. Weight 0.3 kilograms. Traits. The Aswani are insect humanoids that form a hive culture. The royal jelly of the queen is fed to her personal guard to make them stronger. Permanent boost of +2 to strength. Know this, your skill in herb lore also gives you the strong feeling that covering yourself in this would improve how Aswani regard you. It could also be a component of a levitation ring. Huh, Richter thought. It was the first time his prompts had registered something as both an item and an herb. He would have to be on the lookout for that in the future. You have found Book of Weak Slow. Durability 6 of 6. Item class common. Quality above average. Weight 0.3 kilograms. Spell details. Water magic level 1. Traits. Slows the target's movement and attack speed by 10%. You have found Book of Weak Fireball. Durability 8 of 8. Item class uncommon. Quality superb. Weight 0.4 kilograms. Spell details. Fire magic level 12. Traits. Fires a ball of flame that detonates upon impact. Causes 20 to 25 damage. Chance to cause burn. Requirements. Fire magic skill level 12. You have found Bottled Elder Banshee Scream. Durability 10 of 10. Item class uncommon. Quality above average. Weight 0.2 kilograms. Traits. This bottle contains the scream of an elder banshee. Opening the bottle will create a sonic attack in a funnel pattern in the direction of the bottle opening. Range 50 feet. Those affected may also suffer stun, silence, deafen, madness, bleeding. Richter became especially excited when Abbas pulled out the next item. It had the same dimensions as a cigar box, but was twice as big. Richter had seen a similar case in Hafiz's shop. It was a dark wood, lacquered so that it was shiny and smooth. When the trader opened the lid, Richter smiled. You have found Arrowhead of Multishot. Durability 10 of 10. Item class uncommon. Quality well-crafted. Weight 0.01 kilograms. Traits will split into 5 arrows upon firing. You have found Arrowhead of Tracking. Durability 11 of 11. Item class uncommon. Quality above average. Weight 0.01 kilograms. Traits. An enemy struck will leave an easily trackable trail upon impact for 1 hour. You have found Arrowhead of Analysis. Durability 9 of 9. Item class uncommon. Quality above average. Weight 0.01 kilograms. Traits. Provides detailed information of the target upon impact. You have found Arrowhead of Negation. Durability 12 of 12. Item class uncommon. Quality well crafted. Weight 0.01 kilograms. Traits. 5% chance to ignore magical defenses. You have found Arrowhead of Quenching. Durability 14 of 14. Item class uncommon. Quality well crafted. Weight 0.01 kilograms. Traits. Will create an explosion of water on impact. Increased damage against creatures of the fire element. You have found Arrowhead of Sleep Spores. Durability 13 of 13. Item class uncommon. Quality well crafted. Weight 0.01 kilograms. Traits. Upon impact releases a series of spores that if inhaled may place targets into a light sleep. You have found Arrowhead of Freeze. Durability 12 of 12. Item class uncommon. Quality above average. Weight 0.01 kilograms. Traits. Will do additional 2 to 4 damage on impact. 4% chance to cause freeze. You have found Arrowhead of Dark Energy. Durability 18 of 18. Item class uncommon. Quality well crafted. Weight 0.01 kilograms. Traits. Will do additional 5 to 8 damage on impact. Entropic effects cause increased damage against whichever armor is struck. Richter was so taken with poring over the arrowheads that at first he didn't notice the next item that the brothers placed on the table. When he looked over, though, he immediately forgot about the weapons. You have found Initiate Mapping Ring. Durability 43 of 43. Item class unusual. Quality well-crafted. Weight 0.1 kilograms. Traits. Can be bound to a traveler's map. Whoever wears the ring will transmit their information to the owner of the map. Range, 200 miles.
How does this work? Richter asked, picking up the ring.
It didn't look like anything special. It was just a gold loop with a stylized T on top. It matched the T Richter had seen in the corner of his map.
My father thought you might want this, Abbas said with a faint smile. He acquired it specifically for you. It is a mapping ring. Not everyone in the Traveler's Guild has their own map. To prove their loyalty, many will apprentice under a known traveler. They are given a ring like this. It records whatever the apprentice sees and puts the information on the master map. Some traveler had the bright idea of wearing the rings even if you already had a map. Established guild members started to trade rings so that what one of them learned, the other could learn as well. They started making rings with a better range than the apprentice rings, which only worked within 100 miles of the traveler's map. This initiate ring will work up to 200 miles away.
Richter smiled. An item like this could be invaluable. Not only would it allow him to update his map faster, but it would also let him find whoever had the ring on them. If Tirad had been wearing this ring when Sonaray had kidnapped him, then Richter would have been able to hone right in on his location. While he was thinking about the possibilities of the ring, the strange scent reached his nose again. He glanced over and saw that the last two items the brothers had laid on the table had gold lettering on their prompts. Despite his fascination with the mapping ring, he gave the new objects his full attention.
You have found Blood of Aged Glass Dragon. Durability, 6,968 of 6,973. Item class, scarce. Quality, exquisite. Weight, 8.7 kilograms. Traits, unknown. You have found Soul Stone of Cloud Giant. Durability, 45 of 45. Item class, rare. Soul level, resplendent. Status, filled with soul of a cloud giant. Weight, 0.4 kilograms.
The high-level soul stone was obviously useful, but the scent was somehow coming off of the blood.
Richter only thought of it as such because of the prompt provided. The bottle that contained the liquid was about the size of his old 1-liter Nalgene. The bottle was completely clear, and it was thick, moving like honey when he tilted the bottle. Richter held it up to the sunlight and saw that the blood made a rainbow of vibrant color on the table they were sitting at, just like his old glass knife. He brought it close to his face on the pretense that he was looking at it more closely, but in actuality, he was breathing deeply of the wonderful scent that was somehow coming off of it. He wanted this.
Richter didn't want to overplay his hand, though.
He put the bottle back down and looked at the soul stone closely. He oohed and aahed and made sure that he held it longer than he had looked at the dragon blood. For good measure, he looked over the box of arrowheads and the ring again. He was actually just wasting time during his perusal since he desperately wanted both of the items. He did see one interesting thing, though. The crafter of the sleep arrow had come up with a clever design. The arrow was a broad head that had a glass vial behind the initial metal point. The tip of the vial was packed with tightly wadded cotton. It was easy to see how, on impact, the force of the strike would both crush the vial and push the cotton into the mold. The combined result would be to release the spores in a cloud. Despite his minor fascination with the device, he kept up his perusal much longer than necessary. He only stopped when he heard Abbas ask,
"Have you seen anything that you like, my lord?"
"Perhaps," he replied nonchalantly. "I don't suppose that these are gifts as well."
"All things are gifts from the divine, my lord,"
Abbas responded with all seriousness. Then a twinkle rose in his eyes.
"These particular divine gifts require monetary compensation, however."
Richter smiled in return. Then his smile faded as Abbas started outlining the exact prices.
"The Book of Slow and Fireball sell for 8 gold, 6 silver, 2 coppers, and 74 gold, 4 coppers, respectively."
77 gold? Richter asked incredulously. "Are you going to dip it in gold first? 'Cause if so, just keep that gold and charge me less."
Abbas's face now looked like he was wildly sympathetic.
I understand, my Lord Richter. You must understand what goes into making these spell books, however. Only a magician who both knows the spells and has a high ability in either enchanting or scribing can make a spell book alone. A mage working with a sufficiently skilled enchanter could also make a spell book, but the process takes substantially longer, and of course, the price for two skilled individuals working for long periods of time increases the price as well. Once a book is made, there are other options to make more, but the amount of each book in circulation is understandably curtailed by various agencies. The general rule of thumb is that from skill level 1 to 10, a spell costs 1 gold per level if you learn it from a master. Because of the specialized labor to make a spell book and the cost of materials, the cost of a spell book will be a minimum of 1.5 times as much as learning the spell directly. If you also factor in the difficulty of bringing such items to a distant locale such as this, I am sure you will agree that the price is reasonable.
Richter didn't like what he was hearing, but he understood Abbas's reasoning. Magic had the potential to make a physically weak person into a virtual powerhouse. What the trader was asking was a large amount of money, but how much was it truly worth to be able to wield such a powerful spell for the rest of your life? He had some questions first, though. The first of which was, what materials go into making a spellbook? With his enchantment skill on the rise, he might be able to sell his own spells. The scribes in the village could help with that. Just like he wanted Crom and other non-combatants to go on hunts, if he were able to power level the scribes, then they could increase their copy talent to make more spellbooks. Hello, new trade good! It sounded like the various groups in Eve that made spellbooks were sitting on a shared monopoly. So it would be his absolute pleasure to break that monopoly. The nobles or merchants might not like it, but, as Sun Tzu said, fuck 'em.
The materials are not rare, Abbas answered, but neither are they readily available to most people. The main materials outside of knowing the spell are to have powdered crystals, high-quality ink, and a high-quality book. More may be required, especially for higher-level spells. The quality of the materials also influences how likely it is for you to be able to learn the spell. For lower-level spells, if your affinity is good, the likelihood is usually 100% or close to it, independent of the quality level. Believe me when I tell you, my lord, that you will want a higher-quality spellbook if you learn anything above initiate level. There is no point in spending hundreds of gold to buy a spellbook, only to have its low quality give you only a 50% chance of actually learning the spell. The book turns to ash either way.
Well, that's a hell of a sales pitch, Richter grumbled. How much are you selling the rest for?
First, let me say that I see the prices I have quoted have given you pause. I would never want such a valued trading partner as yourself to feel unhappy with the transaction. Your happiness is my primary concern.
Richter just looked back at him and said, uh-huh.
I'm sure that it is in the best interest of all of us to have a profitable and long-term relationship. Neither one of us are so short-sighted as to place monetary gains over our new friendship. I am sure you would agree, Abbas, Basil said.
With a faint smile, Abbas continued,
as I was saying, I must humbly apologize for any misunderstanding. Those prices would be for the average consumer, my lord, not for someone such as you. You are now a friend of our company and will receive a 10% discount. I also respect your skill as a trader, as well as Basil's, and so will take off another 16%. With that factored in, the Book of Weak Slow would sell for 6 gold, 5 silver, and 5 coppers. The Book of Fireball I could let go for 58 gold, 5 silver, and 5 coppers. Will that be more acceptable?
Richter nodded slowly. He didn't think that Hafiz's sons would be giving up gold out of the kindness of their hearts. His skill rank in trading would get him a 6.5% reduction. The fact that he was being offered a 16% reduction probably meant that Basil's trade skill was level 32. Richter resolved to find out exactly what Basil's skill level was later, but right now, he was just thankful he had asked the man to stay. The reduction in prices was just another way that the universe bent events to fit the peculiar rules of the land. He wondered how Abbas's own trading bonus factored in, but figured it must just be worked into an initial markup. It irked him that he knew Abbas's trade bonus must be at least 24.5%, since the man was at least a journeyman in trading. Despite the fact that he was sure he was getting a pretty raw deal, Richter also knew that his access to items like this was extremely limited, at least until his boat was completed. He decided to just take the discount. Besides, he still had a few tricks up his sleeve.
That does sound better. Why don't you tell me about the other pieces?
Well, I saw you examining the arrowheads, my lord. They are all made of high steel, so the base damage of each shot will be increased by one. The true value, of course, has more to do with their special abilities. My father remembered the interest you paid to the arrowheads you bought in his shop, so made a special effort to procure these items. In Eve, each arrowhead ranges in cost from 1 to 3 gold, but I could part with the entire box for 32 gold.
Richter ground his teeth at the markup, but knew there was nothing for it, so he simply asked, "So that would be 24 gold and 3 silvers with the discount, right?"
"And 2 coppers, my lord,"
Abbas corrected smoothly.
"Of course, the other items are more valuable, and so, unfortunately, the price must reflect that. I truly wish it wasn't so. Despite the cost, these items are definitely reserved for the more discerning of customers. The bottle of royal jelly is 282 gold. The banshee scream is worth 95 gold, 8 silvers. And the mapping ring I could sell for another 130 gold.
Richter wasn't sure about the price of the bottles, but he was a bit surprised at the cost of the ring. 130, you say? Abbas mistook the nature of Richter's question.
I assure you that is a good price, my lord. The Travelers Guild itself is the only group in the River Peninsula with the knowledge to make these. I believe that you could find it very useful.
Richter nodded, but then responded, It is an item of very specialized use, isn't it? If it requires a map to work, I imagine that there aren't many who could benefit from such an object. I wouldn't mind helping you sell it for, say, 70 gold, before my discount, of course. Abbas's expression didn't waver.
It is true that there are not many who are blessed to have such a map, but as the lady says, blessings should be shared. Would you begrudge a poor trader who traveled so far to share the blessing of this ring? Not when I could give it to you for a mere 105 gold.
Of course not, Richter said sympathetically. It must have been a heavy weight indeed to carry a ring so far. We are always sympathetic. That is why I would never dream of making you carry so much heavy gold. I would worry for your back. Seeing how strong your brothers are, though, I believe they could manage carrying 30 gold each. Why don't we agree on 90 gold, and then I won't have to worry over your health? Abbas's lips twitched in a slight grin.
Your concern is touching, Lord Richter. How could I say no to such a caring and generous host? 90 gold it is.
Richter nodded with a smile and gestured to the last 2 items. Abbas resumed his price recitation.
Know that these last 2 items are truly rare. The blood of the crystal dragon and the resplendent soul stone are extremely difficult to come by, Lord Richter. I could not give away the stone for less than 650 gold, and the blood is 820.
Richter choked on the water he was drinking. His throat burned as the liquid went down the wrong pipe. I'm sorry. I was just hallucinating. I don't think I heard you correctly.
Unfortunately, I cannot reduce my price on these items at all, I am afraid. When an item is as difficult to procure as these, then the price of the item is equally difficult to endure. It is a consequence as immutable as when something is dropped that it falls to the ground.
Gravity, Richter said sourly.
I do not know that phrase, Lord Richter.
Richter opened his mouth to explain, but then said, Forget about it. It really wasn't the time to get into Newtonian physics, especially seeing as how Newton's ideas fell short of explaining gravity on a stellar scale anyway, and also because seeing something like a crystal dragon would probably have made Newton poop his shorts. What mattered was that he knew he wasn't going to leave this negotiation without the dragon blood, but there was no reason to let Abbas know that. I get that this dragon blood is hard to acquire, but I'm not really interested in being a collector for collecting's sake. What does it do?
Well, the properties are unknown, sire. At least to myself and my brothers. There are stories of incredible potions and items that have been made from such blood, however. If anyone were to discover its hidden potential, I am sure it would be you, my lord. After all, you have already accomplished such wonders.
Abbas looked over to the left, where the Forge of Heavens could be seen on a small nearby hill. Richter's face became serious, and his eyes grew hard. Of course, it would go without saying that anyone allowed into our village would be expected to keep anything seen confidential. That understanding is necessary for our survival. In fact, it is necessary for the survival of anyone who even witnessed the wonders that you have seen.
Abbas's face grew equally serious.
The word and honor of the Company of the White Pearl are accepted and trusted in all of the kingdoms of the River Peninsula and beyond. I would not like to think that our new friend was questioning our honor.
Of course not, Richter said levelly. No more than you questioned mine as you checked the authenticity of my gift. The seven men seated at the table all sat in silence as Richter and Abbas gazed at one another. The four guards standing nearby tensed slightly at the change in mood, and Alma picked her head up from the table. Richter placed his hand on her back, not wanting her to attack his guests, but otherwise remained motionless, simply staring at Abbas. Thankfully, the man smiled, and the tense moment passed.
My father told me that you had steel in you. Truth be told, I was wondering what you would do when I mentioned your luck in having such a building. You can count on the discretion of myself and my brothers. I see that you understand the truth of trust. It begins as only a small seed. Only with time and attention may it grow strong. I look forward to the day that it is a mighty tree that may shelter us both.
Richter reached out his hand, and Abbas did the same. As the two men clasped wrists, he said, We understand one another. If our relationship continues to improve, perhaps the Company of the White Pearl could help to sell some of our weapons and armor. Perhaps if our relationship becomes very strong, your company could be the only trading group that sells our enchanted items. I imagine that could be quite lucrative.
Abbas's eyes widened slightly as he started to understand what Richter was offering.
Our relationship and my trade skill is just high enough that we could enter into a trade agreement.
Richter held up his hand and with a kind smile said, As you said, I look forward to the day that we can shelter under the same tree, but that is not this day. Just know that I value the friendship of the White Pearl and that I am looking towards the future.
Abbas bowed his head. Richter continued to move the conversation forward.
So the total cost of everything would be... He looked at Randolphus. The Chamberlain finished doing a quick computation on his clipboard.
2,055 gold, 4 silvers, and 6 coppers before the discount. After taking it into account, it would be 1,562 gold, 1 silver, and 5 coppers, my lord.
Richter nodded as if he had already done all of the math in his head. That's what I thought. Before we get to what I am willing to pay, I would like to say that I am glad that you enjoyed the gift that I provided. In light of how happy it made you, I could be persuaded to part with another piece. I'm curious, what do you think this item would be worth?
He pulled another piece of Tephanim jewelry from his bag. It was a platinum ring that was formed by the coiled body of a lizard. Sapphires served as its scales and rubies as its eyes. Again, the craftsmanship was so realistic that it seemed that it might scurry off of his finger if anyone startled it.
Richter heard Abbas's brothers murmur to each other again, behavior that was swiftly curtailed by a sharp expression from their elder. Again, Abbas himself showed no visible reaction to the valuable piece. Richter wondered if it was a traitor talent, or if the man just had a deep well of self-control that let him school his face to impassivity. At Richter's prompting, Abbas took the ring to examine it. Richter told him to feel free to use his talent again, which did bring a faint smile to the traitor's lips. A faint hum tickled Richter's ears for a second time, and then Abbas put the ring back on the table.
For this ring, I would pay 130 gold coins.
Richter made his lips into a moo as if he was deep in thought. Then he signaled Randolphus to lean in and raised his hand to hide his lips. As softly as he could, he said, "I actually have no idea how much this is worth. Is that a good price?" The Chamberlain, sharp as ever, caught on to the game and looked at the ring on the table. He put on a slightly aggrieved expression and shook his head at the ring before leaning back down to whisper in Richter's ear, "I cannot say for sure, but it sounds rather low. The old king once bought a Tephanim ring for over 100 gold, and that was simple gold without jewels. I do know the prices of the magic books and all of the other items, except for the blood, sound appropriate, if you factor in a substantial markup for them traveling here to trade. My best guess is that he is charging you 150 to 200% more than what you would pay in law. That is just going to have to be tolerated, though, my lord. The blood I cannot advise you as to an appropriate cost, though I do know that dragons are exceptionally rare on the peninsula, and that the older the dragon is, the stronger it grows. It just depends on what you are willing to pay, my lord. Now I'm going to randomly show you something on my clipboard and shake my head in disapproval."
Randolphus flipped through a couple of pages on his ledger and then pointed. He loudly said, "You see, my lord, I just don't think we can justify the expense."
Richter nodded at his chamberlain's apparent sage advice. "I was hoping that we could figure out more in trade, but my chamberlain is correct. I can't justify buying all of these things. I suppose I will take the arrowheads and the Book of Slow. Tell your father I appreciate his thoughts and consideration." He stood as if to leave.
"I'm sure there is something we can do,"
the youngest one, Kadar, said. Abbas's reserve truly broke for the first time as he snapped at the young man in their own language. Richter translated the words as, "Shut up, dummy," but he would have been able to pick that up from context alone. Richter smiled and asked, "Is that true, Abbas? Is there something we can do?" Abbas stared at Kadar again, his gaze promising retribution later before turning back to Richter.
"Of course, Lord Richter. There are always things that we can do."
"Great! Now I think you might want to take another look at that ring. I've been told on very good authority that a Tephanim ring can sell for over 200 gold if it was only a gold band. A little creative license never hurt. This ring is platinum and encrusted with jewels. The quality is exquisite. Now I am about to open trade relations with the dwarves of the Serrated Mountains. My own trade ship will be finished soon as well, and who knows what opportunities that may open up. I would like to continue having the Company of the White Pearl as my primary trading partner, however, as long as we can come to an arrangement. We are, after all, friends." Richter gave him a brilliant smile. Abbas smiled back, like one dog baring its fangs at another.
"I see now that my earlier estimation was too hasty. My brothers and I will be taking a trip towards the Twins after this. I do know of a noble who might be interested in acquiring another Tephanim piece. I believe I could sell this ring for about 400 gold. I, of course, cannot buy it for the same amount. I could offer you 280 gold, however."
Richter was sure that if Abbas said he could sell the ring for 400, it was probably closer to 5 or 6. That wasn't the point, though. Richter decided that it didn't hurt to drum up a little goodwill on this one deal, especially since he actually would be able to send out his own trade mission soon. So he decided to be magnanimous. "They will sing songs of your generosity." Basil coughed and shook his head slightly when Richter made eye contact. The message was clear.
"Dude, you're doing too much."
Richter reined it in. "I thank you for your honorable offer. I gratefully accept."
"Well, if we subtract the cost of the ring from the remaining items, that would be 1,282 gold and 14 coppers. Are you interested in procuring them all?"
Richter slapped the table. "I think I would. I can have the gold brought out immediately." He started to stand, but then cocked his head to the side as if just remembering something. "That is, unless you might be interested in any of these items." He placed 4 of the Dark Khan coins and a heavy gold Tephanim necklace on the table. Abbas's brothers didn't start talking this time, but it looked like the youngest might pop a blood vessel from restraining himself. Abbas examined each of the items and said,
"You just happened to remember these items at this moment, my lord."
Richter smiled broadly. "Damnedest thing, right?" Ultimately, Richter didn't pay a single gold piece. Abbas and his brothers paid 394 gold for the necklace, and a total of 1,265 gold and 7 silvers for the Dark Khan coins. The price for the silver coins was more or less what Randolphus had told him to expect. Richter was more than pleased. That, of course, left them owing him a rather large surplus of gold, nearly 400 gold coins. The brothers offered to go back to their ship and obtain the necessary funds, but Richter had a different idea. Seeing as how they would be traveling to the twins, he proposed that they invest his money for him. Abbas immediately looked regretful and turned down the offer. He said he was willing to discuss an agreement dealing with weapons and armor from the forge again, but otherwise wasn't willing to enter a trade agreement just yet. Richter just smiled and proposed another idea. He offered to let the brothers hold on to the difference if they would search the twins for certain objects he was interested in, namely low-quality enchanted weapons and armor, multiple copies if possible. He also asked for one or two more specific magical items that he had been wanting, and said he would buy any books that the brothers could lay their hands on. Richter thought the proposal would be attractive to the traders, as they had probably been planning on a cash windfall from selling these objects to him. Not having liquidity might hurt their negotiating stance once they reached the islands. He said they could pay him back in trade or gold if they came here again after their trip to the twins. All he asked for was another 10% discount for their next round of trading. Abbas looked at him long and hard, thinking it over before finally agreeing. He even asked if Richter would be willing to front them a few hundred more. Richter smiled and said, "Of course," for another 10% off in all future deals. Abbas just smiled and stood up. Richter did the same. They clasped wrists, and like that, their economic battle was done. Abbas took a moment to show Richter how to bind the mapping ring to his traveler's map. The procedure was actually quite simple. As the owner of the map, he only needed to bring the two items together. A prompt appeared which asked if he would like to bind the items together, and that was that. The four brothers stood and bowed a final time. Randolphus handed them the list of sundry items that they needed, and then they walked back to their ship. Richter had offered them the village's hospitality for another day, but Abbas begged off, saying that their trip had already been delayed. The two parted, not as friends, but as business partners with a healthy respect for one another. Richter smiled as he put all of his new loot into his bag. "Okay," he said, slapping his hands together and then rubbing them vigorously. "Now I need to go kill some shit." Alma tooted in excited agreement. Chapter 13, Day 103, Keralt 22, 15,368 EVG. Richter told Randolphus that he would need to speak to Roswan and the new alchemist, Tabia, later that night. The Chamberlain said he would have them both come to the Great Seal after dinner. Then he started absently talking about the various things he needed to do and how he would make a lap of the village to ensure everything was in order as he walked off, flipping through the pages of his clipboard. Richter watched his organizational guru leave and whispered, "You complete me."
"Did you say something, my lord?" Basil asked.
"No, I said nothing," Richter responded quickly. "Go get ready for tomorrow. Crom will be hunting with me for the next few hours, but make sure to check in with him later. Let me know if you need anything else before tomorrow."
Basil stood and bowed, then moved off. Richter picked Alma up off the table and tossed her into the air. Her wings unfurled and she glided behind him as he walked to the gate. While he was walking, he saw that he had a new prompt.
"Congratulations, you have reached skill levels 14 and 15 in trade, plus 7.5% bonus to buying and selling." He smiled broadly. He had known that he had done well in his negotiations with Abbas, but hadn't expected the universe to agree so strongly. Two whole skill levels! Not a bad start to the day, he thought. Then he thought about a certain sexy redhead and thought, definitely not a bad way to start the day. He dismissed both prompts and kept walking towards the gate. While he moved through the village, he heard a shout.
"Lord Richter! Lord Richter!"
Turning his head, he saw Glorin running up with Futin floating above. He stopped walking and waited for the high elf to catch up. The man was breathing hard from having sprinted, so Richter let him catch his breath.
I'm sorry, my lord. I was in the far pastures when Feuden found me.
The elf was wheezing a bit between gasped words. He had actually forgotten that he had sent for the elf. Richter watched Glorin wheeze with a bemused expression. It occurred to him that he might want to institute a calisthenics program for the villagers. It's fine, Glorin. I need some more soul stones.
Yes, my lord. You mentioned it last night.
Richter had no recollection of even seeing the man the previous night, but then he barely remembered taking a lightning bolt to the chest. Glorin unhitched a heavy pouch from his belt and handed it over. The bag was filled with amber-colored soul stones of various sizes. Richter identified many basic-level stones, which didn't surprise him, because the marbled quartz could be changed into that level of soul repository. He saw several common, luminous, brilliant, and even a few special stones as well, though. All of those required precious or semi-precious gems to make. So where had Glorin gotten? With a sinking feeling, Richter asked, "Are these from the gems that I gave you last night?"
"Yes, my lord. I converted all of the jewels you provided, the entire handful you took out of your bag."
Richter sighed. At least the wealth had served a purpose. He thanked Glorin and started to walk off when another thought occurred to him. "Glorin, make sure that all of the life magi have some basic level stones, especially the hunters." The elf hesitated before responding.
My lord, you told me that last night as well, right before you slapped me on the behind and walked off with a red-headed woman. If I remember correctly, as you were leaving, you said you were going to grind the pretty off of her.
They looked at each other for a moment. Then Richter said, "I think we're done here." Glorin nodded, looking relieved to escape the situation, and walked off. Richter poured the soul stones into his bag and continued walking towards the gate. When he got there, everyone was already waiting. Sion and Calder were speaking about something that was making them both laugh quietly. The main thing drawing his attention, though, was the loud complaining coming from Baen.
"This is unbelievable! Why am I here?"
The gnome had been outfitted in the same armor that the guards wore, a high steel chainmail shirt, greaves, and helmet. He had been given a crossbow instead of a spear, though, the idea being to let him stay away from any direct melee combat.
"You were told what this is about," Tirad said, clearly irritated. "Why do you keep asking?"
"First, you made me wait here last night. Then tell me Lord Richter got detained. Then you dragged me back out here again this morning. This is ridiculous,"
Baen yelled. "Well, that's actually a valid point," Richter realized. "Still, better to just nip this in the bud." "We discussed this, Baen. You agreed to take a wage to be here, so saddle up."
"What? What saddle? What are you talking about?"
the gnome cried out, exasperated. Fucking colloquialisms, Richter thought for the umpteenth time. "Let me put it another way. If you don't want to help with this hunt, where you just might earn a large amount of experience, then you can always go help on the building detail. I think they're widening the latrines today." Bayon's face screwed up until Richter thought he might break something, but he ultimately wandered off a bit, muttering to himself.
"Ha ha! Well done, your lordship,"
Crom guffawed. The smith was wearing high steel chainmail armor as well, and he held a two-handed ebony warhammer. Feuten flared, and Richter could see that the hammer had magical properties. "You have found Ebony Warhammer of Crippling. Damage 40 to 52, max 42 to 53. Durability 132 of 158. Item class unusual. Quality exquisite. Weight 27.6 kilograms. Traits. Successful strike will decrease a target's movement speed by 37%. Charges, 440 of 440. "Nice weapon," Richter said with a low whistle of appreciation. The thing looked heavy as hell, which probably meant it was slow, but if it connected, bye-bye bad guys.
"Thanks, your lordship. Old Bessie has been in the family for centuries. It's one of the reasons I'm dying to increase my smithing rank. I won't be able to get her to full durability and damage again until I'm an adept."
"She's a lovely lady nonetheless," Richter said. Then he turned to Yulindi. "It's good to see you again. I'm excited to finally see you in action." The archer clasped wrists with him.
"It will be good to hunt with you.
I've been able to go out with some of the village's other hunters, but we always had to avoid and retreat from the larger predators. It is time that they come to fear us.
Damn straight, Richter said with a laugh. Now I've got a little present for you. He handed him a bundle of his new ice arrows. Ulindi smiled broadly as he inspected each arrow in turn. A consummate warrior, he wouldn't trust someone else with his weapons. As Richter turned away, he heard Crom call out,
Don't worry about my work, pointy ears. You're lucky to finally have something long and powerful in your hands.
Richter decided not to get in the middle of it. There was an addition to the group that he wanted to greet. Cedrin, it is good to see you.
You as well, my lord. I'm ready to hunt.
Cedrin had opted for a large wooden spear with a foot-long head and a thick crossbar. Richter recognized it as similar to a boar spear, a weapon made to skewer an opponent and then ensure that your target would keep a safe distance away from you as it died. Richter nodded to the guard, but he was worried that they might have too many people present. Assuming that his theory about companions not being counted against the total group number was right, he, Tirad, and Sion would be one. With Cedrin, Crom, Calder, Ulindi, and the aircaster Tirad had brought along, a human male named Jean, that made six. Richter was just about to ask Jean to leave when a prompt appeared.
Greetings, war leader. It seems you are trying to make a war party. At your current rank of novice, you can lead six others in your war party. These party members will share all experience from kills and quests equally. Party members will also benefit from any badges or promotions that are acquired. Any friendly forces within your sphere of influence will still benefit from attack and defense bonuses from your skill rank in war leader. At your current rank of novice, your sphere of influence is 50 yards. Select your party members.
Everyone around Richter developed a faint aura, and a 0 of 6 counter appeared in the bottom right corner of his vision. Sion had a gold aura, and for some reason Tirad had a gold outline with a purple one lying over top it. Everyone else developed a green aura of various shades. Crom, by far, had the richest green aura. He focused on the dwarf and thought about selecting him. Immediately, the glow brightened and the counter became 1 of 6. Richter smiled. It looked like he wouldn't be included in the party because of his war leader skill. Next, he selected Sion, and the gold aura brightened, but the counter remained at 1 of 6. Richter's smile widened. He quickly selected Tirad, and another prompt appeared.
You have selected another war leader to be in your group. As you are only novice rank, he cannot lead another war party under your command. He is counted as another party member. His benefits from being a war leader are not cumulative with your own.
He dismissed the prompt and saw that the gold glow around Tirad had brightened. Richter wasn't sure, but it seemed like the purple aura stayed the same. He didn't fully understand the implications of the last prompt, but what was important was that Tirad had joined the war party and the counter had remained at 1 of 6. Richter quickly chose everyone else and the counter increased as, one by one, each green aura brightened. The color around the party members wasn't glaring or distracting in any way. It just made seeing them a lot easier. Another prompt appeared.
You have filled all available slots in your war party. If you are sure of your choices, then select yes. Be aware that you may only choose one war party every 24 hours. Is this the group that you wish to proceed with, yes or no?
Richter selected yes. As soon as he did, everyone started looking around at one another in surprise. Other prompts came up, but he minimized them for a second.
What are you seeing? He asked Sion.
Everyone has a faint green aura around them, except for you. Your aura is purple, the sprite replied.
What about Tirad?
His aura is green? Richter asked.
Yes. Why wouldn't it be?
Richter just shook his head slightly.
Is that what all of you see?
Everyone gave nods of agreement. The war leader's skill was already stronger than he'd thought it was. Being able to clearly see where all of his people were was an invaluable boon. At the very least, it should cut down on friendly fire.
It would be hugely useful when fighting in low visibility conditions or underground. It also seemed that no one could see the gold auras that Richter assumed denoted his companions, and didn't see that Tirad had a purple aura that must indicate his war leader skill. While everyone continued to examine their new Green Lantern look, he pulled up the prompts he had minimized. Know this, your traveler's map is synergistic with your war leader skill. The position of your party members can now be found on your map as long as they remain inside of your sphere of influence.
Richter had to make leveling this skill a priority. He pulled up a mini-map in the corner of his vision, and sure enough, there were 2 gold dots, 5 green dots, and 1 purple one in the center. He instinctually knew which dot indicated which person. The war leader skill was immensely valuable and could be the difference in the upcoming war with the bugbears. Right now, his rank only let him affect 5 members, and the bonuses only extended 50 yards, but who knew how many people he could include when he leveled up? One thing he didn't understand was the badges and promotions that had been mentioned in the prompt. He needed to ask Tirad about it, but right now he had to prepare. First, he needed to learn his new spell. Slow spells had been a staple of every RPG he had ever played and could definitely come in handy. He opened the Book of Weak Slow and started turning the pages. As with past spell books, the pages started turning faster and faster as knowledge was poured into his mind. He stood staring in a trance as the page turning became a blur. Suddenly, the back cover slammed shut and the book fell to dust. A new spell was now in his mind, ready to be used. The next thing he had to do was load his Ring of Holding. He went through his spell list, weighing the pros and cons. Weak Charm had been his go-to spell, but it wouldn't work on whatever monster they were probably going to find. His eyes landed on Weak Paralysis Beam, and he decided to give it a shot. Focusing on the spell, he summoned the energy but didn't finish the casting. After 3 seconds, his mana dropped by 39 and the clear gem on the ring became filled with a faint green light. The spell had been stored. He handed the mapping ring to Sion and explained its use. The sprite happily accepted and slipped it onto his finger. Richter looked at his map and saw that large sections of the forest lit up brighter than before as the map updated itself with Sion's travels. Some rivers widened, and the density of trees changed as those areas of the map came to reflect more up-to-date information than what had been made by the traveler who made the map hundreds of years ago. As a final preparation, Richter handed out his remaining health potions to everyone and also gave each a potion of clarity. They all downed the experience potions, and he gave another to Alma, who tilted her neck back and quaffed the contents of the vial. With all that done, Richter smiled, looked around and said, "Let's do this!"
Chapter 14, Day 103, Kuralt 22, 15,368 EBG. The war party took off at a jog. Sion, Alma, Jean, and Richter cast Weak Haste on everyone in a round robin to increase their speed. Tirad led the way, heading south and east. The hunters had told the captain that several monsters had been seen in that region in the past few days. It seemed like a good place to start. While they moved, Richter pulled up next to Tirad. He wanted to discuss his questions about being a war leader, and also to put some space between himself and Bayon. The gnome was already complaining about having to move quickly while in armor.
"I had no idea how useful the war leader skill was. I don't know what it meant by badges and promotions, though. Do you have any idea from your days in the Eve Army?"
"Only loosely," his companion replied. "I was never high enough in the ranks to work under a war leader, so everything I know comes from soldiers' gossip. Basically, whenever a war party fights, there is a chance of them gaining a group ability called a promotion. I don't know what earns it, but I do know that it usually has something to do with how they fight. Mountain fighters can get plus 10% to attack in the mountains. Survivors of a siege can get plus 10% defense in a city. The promotion only works if the fighter and the war leader both have it and are working together."
"Okay, promotions definitely sound like they could come in handy. What about badges?" Richter asked. He marveled at the capabilities of his body here in the land, There was no way that he could have held a conversation like this while running with his old Earth physique.
I know even less about that, unfortunately, my lord. The basic difference between promotions and badges is that while promotions require both the war leader and fighters to have gotten the bonus, badges only require that the war leader has gotten a bonus. I heard that General Jameson had a badge that drastically increases the movement speed of his armies. He is famous for quelling an uprising in an eastern duchy and then force-marching his men to the other side of Eve to fight off an incursion of Gold Plains raiders. Again, all of this is hearsay, my lord. I am afraid I do not know anything more.
It's more than I knew. Thanks, man. Richter sped ahead. As he looked around, he noticed a new icon in the corner of his vision. It was an axe and hammer crossing over a shield. He focused on it, and a translucent window appeared. The war leader's skill could apparently give him an abbreviated status page for each of his party members. Tarad and Sion's info was clear, but when he tried to access the values for party members other than his companions, he just received a short message saying his rank wasn't high enough to have that information. Just another reason why he would have to level up the skill as quickly as possible. He noticed that the word champion was under his name, but missing from everyone else's. It just reminded him that he had much to learn. Richter dismissed the window and bent his attention to examining the tracks that he could find. He saw plenty of small game trails. Squirrels, chipmunks, and rabbits abounded through the verdant forest. Following those small prints were occasionally the tracks of wolves and foxes. He saw another set of prints that he didn't recognize, but that Sion identified as a mountain lion's. They found nothing that seemed beyond the capabilities of village hunters, so he kept the party moving. After a while, Tarad pulled up next to him again.
"Can I have a word, my lord?"
"Of course, Tarad. What's on your mind?"
"I know you have a lot on your mind, your lordship, but I'm still worried about the people we left behind in Eve. Saving them won't fix all the ills in the world, but it will make a world of difference for them. I can't sleep some nights, thinking about what they must be going through."
Richter nodded grimly. "That's been in the back of my mind as well. Between the bugbear attack, your abduction, and the new villagers, though, there barely seems to have been any time to think." Tarad stopped running, an alarmed look on his face. The other members of the war party slowed as well, but Richter waved them on, saying he and the captain would catch up. The other fighters moved on. Tarad said,
"My lord, I never meant what I said to sound like a recrimination. I'm so very thankful that you saved me from that crazy woman and the warrior she was with. I know that you have done your best. You saved my Isabella and so many others. You must believe—"
Richter held up a hand to stop his captain's babbling. "I didn't take it as an accusation, Tarad. Before I say anything else, I want you to know that I'm always willing to listen to you. If there is anything that is concerning you, anything that you want to discuss with me, not only are you welcome to, but you are ordered to. Okay?" Tarad looked relieved.
"Thank you, my lord.
Meanwhile, I'll tell you that I gave Randolphus some papers I had taken from Count Stonik. He told me it was encoded, but that he would try to crack it. I confess that barely a day goes by without me asking him to do something else. Despite everything that needs to be done, you raise a good point, Tarad. We can't just forget these people. Will you give him the ledger you took from the Nightblade's chest?" Tarad immediately agreed, confessing his frustration that he had not been able to decipher any more of the encoded text. Richter nodded and called out,
"Futin!"
The glowing ball floated up.
"Yes, Lord Richter."
"When you see the Chamberlain again, tell him I want the Nightblade ledger to be made a priority." The remnant voiced assent, and Tarad looked at Richter with grateful relief. The two men quickly clasped wrists and then took off, quickly catching up with the other members of the war party. The aircasters re-upped the weak haste buff on the party regularly as Sion and Richter kept searching. They staggered, casting the enchantment, buffing half the group, then 5 minutes later, buffing the other half. It let them get around the 1 minute cooldown on the spell and keep up a fast pace. Richter was delighted when he found an unexpected benefit of the speed they were going. Bayon ran out of breath and so could no longer complain. They kept up their pace for about 30 minutes. The speed was well below Richter's top miles per hour, but he was planning for a marathon, not a sprint.
The tracks he found continued to be relatively benign, and he started to wonder if they should search in another direction, but then Sion called out. They slowed to a stop, and Richter jogged over to see what his companion